6 minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line on Manx Radio. Thanks to Beth Espy for standing in on Friday. Not much happened, did it? The numbers as far as cases are concerned, 1,575 confirmed cases since the beginning of coronavirus. We had 49,145 tests. 151 tests are booked for today. No new cases up to 4 o'clock yesterday, so that's 49 active cases on the Isle of Man. And no one in hospital. There are 718 people in self-isolation. When with the number of active cases coming down at roughly 20 a day, we're now at 49 cases. By what, Wednesday, we should be into single figures, but we keep our fingers crossed. There is a briefing this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So far on the vaccination dashboard, 46,447 first doses have been administered, 15,454 second doses have been administered, combined total of 61,901 jabs. And we're currently holding 5,904 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. So there will be a COVID-19 briefing, 4 o'clock today, as usual. You'll be able to hear it on Manx Radio, AM, FM, on our social media platforms. That's the Facebook page and YouTube as well. There will be a live blog for the hard of hearing and those who can't get next to a speaker. And afterwards, the whole thing will be available as a podcast. If you go to manxradio.com or your normal podcast provider, you'll find it on there. So it's good to have you along today. Any thoughts on this? The number of lockdown restrictions are easing today. And all the details, 61,000 coronavirus vaccines now administered, nearly 62,000, number of active cases below 50. Are we nearing the end of this lockdown? Dare we say that we're nearly where we thought we might be? It's 6 weeks tomorrow since we went down into where we are. The Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, speaks about the latest data and what it means for easing of restrictions.
Very encouraging at the moment with the way things are going. But as I always say, we mustn't be complacent at this point. There is still the risk of something going wrong at this stage. So we just need to ensure that we are satisfied that things are heading in the right direction and there isn't something underlying with the figures. But at the moment, it's looking very encouraging indeed.
So potentially this time next week, could we be talking about the end of lockdown?
Well, let's not start getting too excitable at this stage. We'll need to look at what happens throughout the week. As I say, it's important that people do continue to follow the rules for now to ensure that we haven't got something underlying that could then reignite in our community. We know with this virus, it can be very good at hiding and popping up at the last minute. So we do just need to continue to be careful.
Looking at the vaccination rollout over the weekend, the total number of vaccines passed the 61,000 mark. There are just over 3,000 people booked in over the next 7 days, though, according to the dashboard this morning. So are we starting now to see the impact of this reduced supply that was expected this month?
We are. There will be more people booked in as the week goes on as well. In some cases, 111 only books a couple of days in advance. So that 7 day figure always tends to roll, so it keeps increasing. But this is the week in the middle of April where, when we said there would be disruption, people will see the numbers dropping. So they may well see at certain points this week it going down to about 400 vaccines a day. That is as expected. That is exactly in line with what we told the public about a month or so ago with the disruption of supply. And then supply picks up again the week after next.
You did speak, I think it was on the Thursday briefing, about people cancelling appointments for AstraZeneca. Is that still the case?
That has slowed down now, I believe. I would again use this as an opportunity to urge people to get their vaccines as planned. If they don't have a medical reason not to be getting that particular jab, then they should go ahead. The JCVI, the European Medicals Agency, the MHRA in the UK have all been absolutely clear that people should still go ahead with their jabs as planned.
Now, over the weekend, there was a story that attracted a lot of comment on social media from our friends at Isle of Man Television about a couple who were having to live separately because one had travelled back to the island from across. Now, the current rules, if I understand correctly, mean if you do come back, you can't isolate with anyone you didn't travel with. Given that this situation over here and across has been changing recently. Does this rule need to be looked at again?
The rules are constantly under review. We review the rules roughly once every 2 weeks, and that includes border restrictions, that includes travel restrictions. This came in, obviously, end of December, start of January, particularly with the way the Kent variant spread throughout households, that meant there's an abundance of caution with UK infection rates. People couldn't self-isolate at home. That rule will be reviewed as part of the process, but it is important we don't do anything knee-jerk, that we don't change things that then put our island backwards.
Now, more than a week ago, we were told that there was going to be a point-by-point rebuttal of Dr. Rachel Glover's evidence at a recent Public Accounts Committee hearing. We still haven't had that point-by-point rebuttal. When can we expect it?
Yeah, in the coming days, as I explained, over the Easter period, and that includes the week after Easter, many of the officers that needed to be involved in drawing that up were actually on holiday. They haven't had a break for over 12 months, and I wasn't going to interrupt their leave in order for this to be produced. So it will actually come out within coming days.
Any thoughts on what Mr. Ashford had to say? The number of lockdown restrictions that eased today, including the official ending of shielding. It means clinically extremely vulnerable people no longer have to stay at home all the time. They can go for a walk, they can visit a shop, and that may be you. And if that is, then I wish you well today. People who've been shielding are asked to contact their employers so measures can be taken to make their return to work as safe as possible. Elsewhere, indoor construction work can resume. That's hardware stores reopen for face-to-face trade, and estate agents and surveyors are allowed back into properties. Viewings of occupied properties are still prohibited. But that's estate agents and surveyors are allowed back in properties. Schools are reopening for teachers today. Primary schools will welcome back vulnerable children and those whose parents are key workers tomorrow. Secondary for certain pupils in years 11 and 13, with work assessments to be completed before summer. In all settings, people need to continue observing social distancing, and the Manx government's encouraging other mitigations, including the use of face coverings. Outdoor leisure and sports venues can also reopen. The rules are unchanged for gatherings, meaning you can still meet in a group of up to 10 outdoors, but you can't go inside, and visiting people in care homes still isn't allowed. So those are the easing of restrictions today. And as I say, if that includes you, then I certainly wish you well. We'll come on to what's happening around Douglas. And the roadworks in and around the capital, apparently, could discourage shoppers from heading to Strand Street. I just wonder if that's affected you. Well, obviously, lots of people were encouraged not to go out of the house, even really just to go out and buy essentials. So I just wonder whether everybody's got into the habit of buying online rather than when we do come out of lockdown, actually get it, or maybe you can't wait to get back into the shops. I mentioned lightheartedly that Beth had somewhat of a baptism of fire on Friday on the man in line because the Duke of Edinburgh sadly passed away. I doubt if anybody in Britain, the Isle of Man or elsewhere doesn't know about the death of Prince Philip on Friday. Broadcasters swiftly dropped their normal programming as news came through, and I don't know whether you spotted this, and take the opportunity to formulate an opinion, pass an opinion on this, because it doesn't happen very often. But I don't know whether you noticed that all BBC television output went into mourning, and it led many people to complain that it was excessive. In contrast, BBC Radio kind of merged as well. In contrast, Channel 4 had a limited number of programme changes, which also drew criticism as well. We marked it, of course, in our own way on the Isle of Man at Manx Radio. So I'm just wondering, with the benefit of hindsight and mature reflection over the weekend, is there a right or a wrong way of doing things in the event of a death in the royal family? Did broadcasters, well, perhaps including Manx Radio, we too much, too little? I just wonder what your thoughts are. It's not often we get the chance to pass opinion on this because, happily, there aren't too many deaths in the royal family, but there was one on Friday, and I just wonder what your thoughts are over the weekend. Yes, David Christian, the boss, the Douglas Council leader, he seems to have been there for ages, doesn't he, in Douglas Council. David Christian discussed the issue of the roadworks in and around Douglas discouraging shoppers from heading to Strand Street and associated streets. A number of infrastructure projects are currently being carried out, which are affecting traffic going in and out of Douglas town centre. Maybe it's so long since you went into Douglas you've forgotten how to get there. Let me tell you, it's a bit of a building site. What with, at the moment, Quarterbridge Road, what with Pullrose Bridge and Pullrose Road and the promenade, which seems to have been with us forever, many retailers have been impacted in a big way by coronavirus restrictions, and efforts are now turning to ensuring that the retailers get the support they need to survive. Here's David Christian and his opinion.
This is good investment infrastructure in Douglas as well. You know, so I do welcome this from DOI, the fact that we are seeing this investment in some of our roads and infrastructure, which are falling into a poor state of repair. It just seems that at this present time, you've got three quite major ones going on there that's going to cause quite a bit of disruption, you know, and I think it will put people off. And let's face it, when we come out of this lockdown and we get Strand Street and the main shopping area up and running again, you know, we're going to have to all of us do everything we possibly can to support local businesses. You know, they've had a real rough time. You know, some of them have rallied really well and have been able to do click and collect and home deliveries. That's not the same as having punters through the doors. You know, we need to get back into the street, make a vibrant area again. You know, so let's get on and get these roadworks completed.
There was also a rate rebate discussed for businesses in Douglas. Where are we at with that?
People can actually submit to them if they wish to come forward for rates reductions. And some people have actually received those rates reductions. And I think there was another sitting in April where there are a number of businesses going forward again. The council can submit views, and we do submit views to the Rating Appeals Board. But at the end of the day, we then have to accept the decision that comes back from them. Obviously, there are other Treasury schemes up and running at the moment. And one of those is based around the level of rates that people pay. I think it's based on last year's rates is a sum of money they can claim and then use as cash flow within their business. And I'm sure that's been very welcome. You know, I mean, I think if you look at all the packages that Treasury and government have put together, that, you know, they've got to be applauded for what they have managed to achieve. And quite often in a very short period of time to get something on the table to assist people. These have been extremely tough times.
I wonder what you think about what Mr. Christian has to say. Of course, B, noting from B, just said you have to open the shops. First of all you have to do is to open the shops. 99.7 recovery rate for this outbreak. Surely, no matter what your opinion of it, you have to ask the question that far more people have died of cancer and heart disease. So what is this all about? Well, B, that's not the question we're asking. We're asking about whether infrastructure projects have affected Douglas shops. Noting from Andy just says, David Christian said they accept what the rates tribunal says, but he's rejected the industrial relations tribunal finding. I don't think he did. He just said the council said they didn't agree with it. They didn't reject that particular finding. Mr. Christian should, let me see, just listening to David Christian about the roadworks in the capital, it's a bit rich since he's the one for the prom scheme and the loss of parking spaces. As for the DOI, I watched in horror on Saturday as the Howard Street is being ripped up and crushed. The most expensive paving in the Western Hemisphere is just being discarded at taxpayers' expense, like it was here, not there. Tim Baker needs to get a grip of the Department of Infrastructure and ask what's going on. Well, I think they are doing that, but, I mean, really, the more important point is what's going to happen if everybody is going to buy online, and lots of people have been buying online by necessity. They may just never get back to the habit of buying in shops. COVID rules have fallen by the wayside. A note in from G. There was a loud house party near us at the weekend. Teenagers walking round in groups without masks. Enforce the rules or lift the lockdown, says G. Tell us where it is, G. Whereabouts did that happen? Was there a loud house party? How many people were there? How many people did you see as well? The man who refused to allow free parking in Chester Street car park. Certainly true, the free car parking only came when the government took over the Chester Street car park. I'm fascinated by the policy and protocol, the switch that kicked on Friday to change the process. Well done to Beth. Everything was handled very well. I think Manx Radio did a fine job how we handled everything. Very tasteful and not over the top. It's good to get back to programming later on as well. I think it's about respect, says Andy. This is just regarding the what you perceived happened in the media over the weekend with the sad loss of the Duke of Edinburgh. The reaction, says Alan, from radio and TV stations was over the top, really. When the Queen leaves the world, how long do we have to put up with mass hysteria? I don't know. Was there mass hysteria of the weekend? 3 days a week? I'm glad I've got Netflix, Amazon Prime and Spotify. Just a thought on this. Is it doesn't happen very often, but did you think what the reaction was like where... It was absolutely wall-to-wall on all television channels. Well, all terrestrial television channels, anyway. All the best as well. Manx, Rob said, I don't think you should have cancelled the man in line and played mournful music. I thought Philip was a good, down-to-earth, good old so-and-so, says Manx as well. But I don't think you should have cancelled the man in line as well. Oh, I don't know what Beth would have to say about that. Just been to the car park at Craigneish, covered in rubbish, says Susie. Empty food boxes, drinks cartons, not to mention discarded masks. When are people going, why are people so disgusting? I pick them up. And the bins are full as well. They need emptying. Something needs to be done with that. That's one of the issues, that overflowing bins seems to be prevalent nowadays, with the fact that so many people are out and about. The bins get very full very quickly. Question in. Wayne said, what's the situation regarding the Ben McCree? Well, the biannual refit of the Ben means that the 215 sailing from Heysham is going to be covered by the Arrow. So I think it's the 13th of April till the 7th of May. The Ben McCree is going to be out of service, so Manannan will be handling passengers between Douglas and Heysham, and the Arrow is going to be doing all the freight. The Ben McCree went this morning at 23 minutes to 9. She'll be in Heysham about now, leaving at 2:15, back here at 6. But tomorrow morning, it's Manannan heading to Heysham as well, because the Ben gets a biannual refit. Lots of comment coming in. Text on 166177. Email studio@manxradio.com or call 661368. James says, Andy, David Christian is concerned with all the roadworks in Douglas and that it'll drive shoppers out of the town, yet the council reintroduced parking charges today. Doesn't really stack up, does it, as well? I'm due to have my second AstraZeneca vaccine dose in May, and I must admit I'm a bit hesitant about it, says Dick. Credit where credit's due, though. The Chief Minister, Health and Social Care Minister, were very reassuring in the latest media briefing about it, and it helped to allay any concerns that I had. I urge anybody to have their second doses on time, just like I will be doing. Vaccinate, don't hesitate, says Dick. A message in just said, I think Manx Radio did it 100% correctly on Friday. BBC and other stations, who in deference to the Queen and Royal Family, showed what should be done with a death such as a prominent member of the family, done in a very sympathetic, solemn way, as it should have been as well. Another message in regarding rates bills. I've just had my rates bill, combined rates this year, £1,600. I'm sorry, Mr. Krishna, I can't afford to park and shop in Douglas. Everything I can get everything I need online at a cheaper price. I'm sorry, that's where I'm going to be doing my shopping, says Pam. I just wonder how much, and it's a question you could ask yourself, have you bought something online that you would have normally bought in a supermarket or in a shop purely because, well, at the moment, you can only do it online. You can't get non-essential stuff. But do you think you'll go back? Let's just say, have you bought groceries online that previously, hitherto, you only ever bought in a supermarket? Dee says, you shouldn't have cancelled the man in line. I've had enough depressive stuff with coronavirus. You should have had the man in line. You should have had let people ring in and discuss his passing and offer condolences, says D as well. Is Drumgoldstreet car park still free? No, I don't think it is free. The one above Marks and Spencer. Maybe you can tell me. A message in that says, Andy, I think the media's response to Prince Philip's death was like something North Korea would do, says Jeff. Which media, though, Jeff? Which particular part of the media do you think that was? Well, at least, the thing is, in Britain, at least you can change the channel. I don't think you can change the channel in North Korea. The government's getting £12 million a year from road tax payers. Vehicle fund license, please. Let's face it, the roads are in a terrible condition. What's the reason for the 100% increase in some payments? How much money do they need? I've got motorbikes. I still haven't been able to use them very much since the COVID virus has been detected over here. It's outrageous. I think the government's greedy. I agree. Says Tony, why cancel the man in line? I never knew the man. Most of us neither did, says Tony. So why did you cancel the man in line? Well, the Duke of Edinburgh died. The Queen's consort died, I think it was. I've been buying nappies for my two-year-old from Amazon. Loads cheaper than in the shop, says Mary Jane. So I guess, Mary Jane, you're not going to be going back to buying your nappies in the shop. What happens if everybody does that, I wonder? What happens to what our shops and our businesses around Douglas, around Ramsey, Port Erin, Port St. Mary, Peel? What's going to happen to Parliament Street if people start buying everything online as well? Online shopping's increasing exponentially, says John. So, Andy, I'm not going to go anywhere near Douglas. It's a disgrace. Delay after delay. Incompetence. I think they're going to be forcing the shops out of business and starting lots and lots of half-baked projects. Tram lines starting and finishing nowhere as well. Online shopping is for me, says John.
Further to the relaxation of some restrictions, Haldane Fisher in Douglas and Ramsey are now open 8 till 5 Monday to Thursday, 8 till 4 on Fridays and Saturday mornings too. For your safety and our staff's, you must wear a mask, follow social distancing rules, and use the hand sanitizer stations provided when visiting our premises. Our team are here for you, so please be patient and follow their directions. Help Haldane Fisher help you stay safe.
Everyone knows that at Isle of Man Creamery, our milk is green. Natural and wholesome from grass-fed Manx cows on local family farms. But you might not know that our cartons are now green too. We're introducing the first plant-based packaging in the British Isles, containing no oil-based plastics at all. Fresh Manx milk, now in the most environmentally friendly packaging available. Call 632000 or visit isleofmancreamery.com for doorstep deliveries.
For the time being, Pascos are closing our doors to keep in line with current government regulations and to protect all our customers and our team. But don't worry, we're still here for urgent replacements and can carry out contactless doorstep deliveries. Just leave a message on the showroom answer machine at 676066 or email pascos@manx.net. And as soon as we're able to reopen, Pascos will be ready to welcome you back in store. Stay safe from all of us at Pascos of Tramode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
This September, the Isle of Man will go to the polls for the 2021 general election. And now you can find out what you need to know on Manx Radio's election website. In the next few months, this will be the go-to place to find out everything from who's standing for election and why to how and where you vote. For those interested in standing for election, how do you do that? Find out on Manx Radio's election website. And if you have a question you want to put to prospective MHKs, let us know by clicking on the I Wish You'd Ask tab. This is your website for your general election. Follow the link on manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
29 minutes before one, Tony B. Hello, Tony.
How are you doing, Andy?
I'm not bad. What about yourself?
I'm good. I find it pretty obnoxious that people are complaining that their enjoyment has been upset by not showing respect to somebody who's put their whole life or 90% of it, so, or 50% of it, 60%, quite a high percentage, serving people of this nation. I'm just appalled that people think like that. You know, what does it cost anybody to show some respect? You know, so if we had, I don't know, some rock star died, then it would be all right. We'd show respect. But because it's somebody who's sit there, never produced anything, but the Duke of Edinburgh Award scheme is well known, and it's really appalling that people don't respect the fact that somebody's passed, who's done so much for a world. It's amazing.
Yeah, and also I think that people kind of buy into the Duke of Edinburgh or any royal personage. It depends on the generation, because older people remember the Duke of Edinburgh as a young moderniser of the royal family who really... and he had his say in the 1950s, quite controversial at the time. And, of course, different generations take out of the Duke really what they want. And what struck me as well over the weekend is that some people don't understand the constitutional position of the royal family as well.
No, I think it's very sad. You know, Captain Tom died, and we appreciate the fact what he did, and he was a war veteran. Well, Prince Philip was a war veteran as well. And I think it's extremely sad that they're worried about they missed the programme. Well, get on catch up. It's not a big issue. Just show some respect. And as far as Mr. Christian and Douglas is concerned, I think they're best off they could just shut Douglas, because the way the roads are and the way that the DOI is handling everything, it's just a disaster. So I think they're going to find that when everything does open up, there won't be very many people coming to Douglas, because there's no parking, because we've all got to walk or go on a push bike, according to the DOI.
And in the past year, Tony, there are a lot... I mean, most people in business don't moan. They just get on, they do what they have to do. But lots of people in business have been tiptoeing along the edge of real trouble. They've had arrangements with landlords, their suppliers have had problems as well. Who knows what's going to happen when we get back to anything like normality?
Well, I suspect there's a lot of people just won't go back to Douglas, because it's horrible to get around. You can't go and park anywhere because there's nowhere to park. The parking fees go up and down like yo-yos. It's ridiculous. So, as far as I'm concerned, I avoid going to Douglas now. I used to be quite happy to go to Douglas, but not anymore.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being with us, Tony.
Take care, Andy.
All right.
Yeah, look after yourself.
Good to talk to you. Here's Ken on the Man in Line. Hello, Ken.
Afternoon, I'm afraid. I've got the opposite view. My viewing was spoilt on Friday. There we are. I was going to watch the old grey whistle test at 10 o'clock on BBC Four. Whispering Bob Harris. And what do you get? Programmes have been... suspended. Please turn over to BBC One.
Interesting that they've got four channels on the BBC as well. I noticed that BBC Four was cancelled, wasn't it?
I don't mind it being on, you know, BBC One and BBC Two. With you know, he has been with us for many years, even though he's, you know, the royal family's a bit German all round, but that's another matter. But I was just amazed. And the other thing is, my memory's gone. I don't remember Annie Nightingale being on the old grey whistle test.
Yes, she was for a while, yes.
Oh, don't remember her.
So which era are you then? What's his name? Mark Allen, David Hepworth, Bob Harris?
Bob Harris, Whispering Bob Harris. I switched off, I turned off after he left the scene.
All right, Ken.
A bit like on Friday, turned off. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Val on the Man in Line. Hello, Val.
Hi, good afternoon. I could just like to say thank you very much to all the Port St. Mary men and ladies for their help at the co-op. They have been wonderful for me and my husband, and I don't have to go online. That's all I have to say. Thank them very much indeed.
Well, we love the co-op in Port St. Mary, Val.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for being with us today. A message in from Linda in Onchan, just talking about electric cars. Do you remember last week we were talking about the facilities for electric cars? And she said that your caller, David, was correct. Better infrastructure is needed for electric cars. In London, you can plug your car into a lamppost. There are possibilities for putting a charge point outside your home. At the moment, we charge at the police station because it's a slow charge. We take the petrol car and drop off the electric one. So if you're driving to, say, the Lake District, we put that into the car sat-nav system. Not because we don't know the way, but because it tells us where to recharge. Because on some sat-nav systems, it will point out where the charging points are and also if there's a vacant charge point as well. It is the future. I just hope they're going to put some extra charge points on the new promenade. Well, that will be embarrassing if they didn't, wouldn't it, Linda? Somebody's scrabbling for the plans now at the Department of Infrastructure. How many charge points will there be on the promenade? I don't know whether this has been discussed on the Man in Line. This is a note in from Brenda in Port Arum. She said, I had an invoice from somebody with a business account at Isle of Man Bank and was asked to make this online as the bank's now making a charge for cheques. I explained that I was a senior citizen, I didn't bank online, or even that I wished to as well. I found my bank, Barclays, who said they didn't make this charge on their business account, only Isle of Man Bank did this at present. To get through to Barclays by phone's complicated enough, but then to then make the payment required, all my powers of patience and endurance, crikey, it was accomplished at my own risk after 20 minutes. I said I thought I'd take all my money out and keep it under the mattress, but cash, it seems, is going out of fashion these days, says Brenda as well. Longest time you've ever spent on the phone to somebody as well, and I remember somebody said to me, if anybody else tells me my call is important and then tells me to wait 20 minutes, I know what I'd do with the phone. Here's Jed on the Man in Line. Hello, Jed.
Hi, Andy. Good afternoon. I thought it'd be useful just to chat about online shopping. The effect on the Isle of Man. And it's a nice little exercise if you speak to your delivery driver. I will confess I do shop online. And sometimes, you know, just have a word with them and say, you know, how many packages are you delivering today? And it's quite a surprise, you know. They're looking at 100 drop-offs, 100 parcels. And we've got about, must be, 50, 60 vans. Add the Royal Mail, you know, to that on the Isle of Man. And you're looking about over £500,000 worth of gear being dropped off at homes most days. So that's going to have a huge impact.
£500,000 every day.
Well, if you think about it, you've got one delivery driver, say, dropping off 100 boxes, okay? And there's one particular firm on the Isle of Man that has got 40 vans delivering. And it's not just that, you know, we've got wholesale deliveries and commercial deliveries as well. It's not just about retail, you know, to the average consumer going up and down Strand Street, but it's a massive, massive amount. And the impact must be huge on the shops, as we know, in Strand Street, who've had to cope with the difficulties of, you know, the road surfaces being relayed on the promenade and all the diversions and what have you. So I think we need to look at the habits that we've engaged with over the last year.
Nobody could have foreseen this, Jed. I mean, a year ago, most people did some shopping online, but it's had rockets put underneath it purely because of circumstance, hasn't it? What do you think we can do in terms of retail, possibly government? How can we mitigate it?
I think, first of all, is analyse what products are being bought at home. You know, what are they? And what is being missed out on in high street. So you'd imagine it's things like clothes that are difficult to buy online, aren't they? Because everyone likes that fit, don't they? And try before you buy kind of thing. So I think there'd need to be a close look at that. But in earnest, when you look at the high street shops that went out of business due to reasons in the UK, just remember, you know, those big retail chains that are no longer with us, I think we've got to look at how we use buildings and land in the town centre and be creative and maybe make it completely irresistible for those property owners to perhaps turn, you know, those spaces into housing for first-time buyers and bring some life back into the town that way.
Do you think that will help? Because I know that certainly happened in the UK, didn't it, 10 or so years ago, that concept of city centre living, which they said helped prevent crime. It gave people a sense of community in towns as well.
Well, I don't think we can reverse the tide of consumer behaviour, first of all. I cannot actually see that. And I think for the town centres, we don't want redundant and vacant shop windows. It looks awful. So I think if you can perhaps encourage residential, and these are confined to true first-time buyers, they're never going to be investment properties. You know, there's got to be some conditions relating to that. But also encourage the nighttime economy as well, cafe bars, you know, places for entertainment and fun. And when we get our visitor economy back, they can, you know, visit the Isle of Man and go to certain areas. And, you know, it's got to be based around that Victoria Street kind of vibe, right around that kind of square half mile, if you like, extending to the South Quay, so that when people come to the island, they can say it was a vibrant evening, you know, that they had. There were places that were open, there's activity, and not, you know, boarded up shops and you know, redundant areas.
Jed, how can we make it a compelling offering then in hospitality for people? What do we do?
I'd say that we've got to have government working in partnership with businesses, and we've got to have very strong influence from private enterprise, having people that are involved in, you know, spending their livelihoods in generating revenue in those sectors, and really it's having a harmony between those areas and government. And I think we've got to really sell the Isle of Man better. I think we've got to be a destination that will be for people to come to, like why folks go to Liverpool, you know, which is a bit of shopping and a night out. We'd like to have that here, as well as the outdoor experiences and so forth. But in the next year or so, the European landscape is going to be entirely different to what it was. And we're going to have a shed load of tourism opportunities, you know, coming out of the UK and Ireland.
Thanks for being with us today, Jed. Appreciate your point of view.
Oh, that's very good. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much indeed. Let's go to Howard now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Yeah. No, I just listened earlier on as that somebody was saying about the difficulty of getting into Douglas for a start. And I live on the outskirts of Douglas. But once you get into Douglas, parking is at a premium. And I think this is something that's been going on for a long while with the the previous man that was in charge of the DOI, and the subservients, the managers, etc., all had this devious plan, as they call it, a cunning plan. They were designing roads on computers that just weren't suitable for vehicles. And then, of course, there's a lot of cases where they put these fancy, nice little curves in to guide the traffic, but not taking into consideration the larger traffic that's on the road, trucks, buses, etc. And then they had to be removed. Ford North up here is a prime example. You'll see that where the tarmac was redone. But somewhere within, and I think it's within the civil service, because this is an ongoing thing, regardless of the number of MHKs that come into the system, after a very short while, they become sort of subservient, and they have exactly the same train of thought as that was previous. And it seems to be a set pattern within the system to get rid of the vehicles off the roads, private vehicles, and put you onto buses. Well, who can, if you want to go out at midnight, say on a message or something like that, or somebody's ill at midnight, you either get an expensive taxi or you don't go, full stop. The car was designed for convenience, not for civil servants to get rid of. And if they're going to go to electric, what's going to happen to all the housing estates where there's just parking on the main roads, on the public highway? They're going to have something like 30,000 charging points throughout the island. Now, who's going to put them in and at what cost?
What about that suggestion I had earlier then, the lady who said they incorporate them into lampposts in London?
They can do. But a lamppost is every 30 yards or 40 yards or a prescribed distance by law, depending on the speed limits. And they're going to be clustering around there like bees around a honeypot. So you're all going to be fighting for the one charging point every 30 yards or something. It's just the biggest belief. And as I say, I'm almost, it's almost certain there's somebody within the civil service that has this thing for cycling and walking, and they've got it as their little pet item to run through the system, and they're not going to let go of it easy. And once the other MHKs get in, and you'll find that the next lot that come in, they'll be brainwashed to exactly the same system.
Part of having a car, Howard, also is personal freedom, isn't it?
Exactly.
And we all like that expression of our personal freedom, our own space, our own music. You can meditate. You can think your own thoughts when you're in a car. And it, you know, whether if people think that the general public will give up that notion of personal freedom, they may have another thing coming.
Well, they're doing their damnedest to price us out of it. The road tax, as they call it, I don't care what you're going to call it. You can call it any name you want, it's still a tax. It's going up and up and up and up. As I said previously, my car is £50 dearer for exactly the same car as it would be in the UK. And we've got 600 miles of potholes here, whereas they've got thousands of miles of decent roads. But I've lived here all my life, and I've never known the roads so bad. They are pretty grim. I see they're spending a bit of money on the Newcastle Town Road. They're putting fairly large patches in there, but that's generally around where the buses stop, etc. But that's the first work I've seen done on the roads for a long, long time. Just going back to that other chap who said about Prince Philip. A lot of people never mentioned that man. He died 99. Most people retire at 65 and are glad to do so. He was still going 30 years after the majority of people who are in work retire and take life easy. I have a great admiration for that man, and he was working 30 years after most people have sat down and taken it easy. So he does take a lot of credit, and he needs a lot of credit for what he's been doing over the years.
Okay. All right, Howard.
Thanks, then. Thanks
for being with us today. Quarterbridge Road's going to be closed overnight tonight. It's normally closed. There were 6 till 6. Closure from 6 o'clock tonight. It's going to be closed overnight from the same time on Thursday. Quarterbridge Road closed tonight as the road service is overlaid. Meanwhile, the one-way system remains in place until the works are complete, which the DOI expects is going to be on or before next Monday. Quarterbridge Road might be open next week. The UK, they reckon, is set to reach herd immunity against COVID-19 within days, marking a milestone in the fight against coronavirus. According to some modelling by the University College London, UCL indicate the UK should pass the critical threshold for where the proportion of people who have protection against the virus, either through vaccination, previous infection, or natural immunity, will hit 73.4% today. Herd immunity. Britain is set to reach herd immunity against COVID-19. I wonder if whether we could ask today on the briefing how far we are from that in the Isle of Man.
Think gardening. Think Ramsey Garden Centre. Run by gardeners, there's always something going on at Ramsey Garden Centre, with new stock in store from week to week, from seasonal plants, compost and pots, to wellies, solar lighting and unique gift ideas. For help and information, call 816 506. Like and follow our Facebook page for regular news and updates. Or visit Ramsey Garden Centre, open 7 days a week on Albert Road. Ramsey Garden Centre, where gardening is good for you.
Manx Telecom Strand Street store may be closed to customers, but you can still reach us through our social channels or by calling 624 624. The customer service team is waiting to help. Monday to Friday, 8 till 6, Saturday, 9 till 6, and 10 till 5 Sunday. And you can shop online at manxtelecom.com/shop with same-day delivery on most orders placed by 10 a.m. Manx Telecom, still here for you.
Right now, across the island and beyond, people are searching for their happy, that plum property they've always wanted. And now, it's easier than ever for them to find yours. Plum Properties have become the first estate agent on the island to join Rightmove, the platform that will get your home noticed by thousands more potential buyers. With demand for island homes soaring, it's the perfect time for you to make the right move. So visit plumproperties.im or call 820600 and make your home a plum property.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. 8 minutes before one. Loads of response. Douglas ratepayers have been subsidising free parking in Bottleneck and Shaw's Brow car parks until today. Since the current lockdown started, DOIs continue to charge in M&S all the way through. Government says always buy local, but do they practice what they preach, says G. Very good point. They always tell us to buy local, and obviously sometimes we all buy Manx, even though there's a premium on top of it. But if the government then goes off-island and hires off-island companies to do work on the Isle of Man, are they really practising what they're preaching? Beth did the right thing, says Marie, in halting the man in line in respect of Prince Philip's death. It's called respect. Some listeners lack it, she says. All they want to do is complain, but I think it was the right thing to do, says Marie. Maybe if shops over on the island didn't rip people off with overpricing, more people would use them. Which shops, Nick, is that? Which shops are ripping people off? I totally agree with online shopping. It's the way forward. Safer, cheaper. Went to town this morning. And no one was social distancing and disrespectful people as well. My partner and I are key workers. A dispenser and a chemist and a taxi driver throughout the pandemic. We've worked all the way through. A message in just said, I agree with one of the comments regarding the lockdown. As where I live, I can see the back of 12 homes. It's like looking at Piccadilly Station with people coming and going indoors, outdoor, mixing, no social distancing, no masks, no regard to others who stick to the rules. So why are we still in lockdown? Maybe that's the reason, BD as well. A note in from Patricia just said, if one person in a household goes off the island, whether for a break or a hospital appointment, why can they not self-isolate with the rest of the household when they come back if the rest of the household also self-isolates? What are the government doing? What are they trying to do? Bankrupt us, says Patricia. Make us pay £150 for 3 tests and a fortnight's accommodation elsewhere on top of the costs for going away. It's getting ridiculous, says Patricia. A note in, a lot of talk down, a lot of talk, by the way. There are Manx rumours galore about when the lockdown is going to end. Well, let's put it this way. You don't want to tempt fate, do you? You don't really want to tempt fate as to what's going to happen with this, because we had a month of freedom earlier on this year, and perhaps we all got a little complacent, and then the Kent variant came back. Having recently bought a push bike, I've found out how bad our roads are, said this correspondent. Absolutely shocking as well. They need to bring popular high street stores onto the Isle of Man to revitalise the retail industry. Primark will be perfect for the Isle of Man, with the recent loss of Topshop and Topman. Forever 21, B&M are a good two as well. Let them set up decent-sized stores as well. All we ever get when a popular store comes to the island is a half-done version and seldom gets new stock. Look at Sports Direct. Isn't that new stock at Sports Direct? They've had some of the same items of clothing in there since they opened and haven't had a noticeable stock update in nearly 4 years. Says D as well. PC World and the Apple Store are just as bad. Let's update the high street with well-known popular stores and make it worth going to as well. At the minute, buying online is the best option, says D. Only one thing to do, D, open them yourself. There's lots of money to be made. A note in that just says, I do respect Philip as well. I thought he was one of the best of the royals. Maximum respect. I do respect, says Rob as well. Let's not forget the Queen has lost her husband. Four children have lost their father. Numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren have lost to close family members. I think Manx Radio passed, marked Prince Philip's passing with dignity. I don't think it was over the top. I thought it was absolutely fine. That's it for the Man in Line today. If you want to get in touch out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com or you can call 682-631. That's the Man in Line answer phone. Leave a message and we'll stick it on the air. Doesn't matter what time of day or night. Well, thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. And thank you for your point of view on the Man in Line. Just a small note, Andy. I've done a good bit of work on the new promenade. There are no electric charging points at all. Really? Stick around. Late lunch on the way on the Man in on Manx Radio, by the way. And I'll catch you tomorrow, 12 midday. Have a lovely day. Nice weather, isn't it? WINT.